learning how to understand God. Though it's not about knowing the mere existence of God, but to understand God. Can we find out what He's like? Can we understand God? The answer comes back from Him saying, yes, absolutely, I will be found of you. That if we're going to find out what God and understand what God is like, then we're going to have to do diligent seeking and searching. Now, as we understand God through His thoughts, it will produce joy and peace beyond description. I'm not sure there's a loftier subject on the planet than this one. Learning how to understand God. So I want to, first of all, point out that this is quite different than just, is there a God somewhere, right? It's not about knowing that God exists. I mean, everybody but a fool knows that, right? If there's a creation, there must be a creator. If you look at the creation and say there's no creator, you either have brain damage or a mental disorder of a severe condition. It's like saying there's no computer maker. I mean, it's insane. So to deny the existence of God requires a condition that the Bible calls a fool. A fool is someone who does not see or face or admit to the facts that are obvious in front of them. And for whatever reason, and look at this scripture, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Now he has to say it in his heart because his head can't go along with that idea. The head cannot say while looking at a piece of artwork that there was no artist. The head cannot do that, but the heart can because it can be desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Let's take another look at this scripture, though, before we rush on. Fool said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. It requires a severe mental, emotional, spiritual corruption to deny the existence of a creator while you're part of the creation. And then they have done abominable works. And these are some of the embedded reasons behind the fool that distort and contort, disturb and destroy his intellectual capability. So what we're talking about tonight, though, is not about knowing the mere existence of God, but to understand God, which is far beyond the mere knowledge of His existence. So how shall we begin to understand God? We have to realize how difficult the task is. So let me phrase the question a little bit differently. How can the finite understand the infinite? That's the question. This is why it's so difficult, because we who are mere humans are trying to understand this amazing being of God. Yeah. So comes the scripture and asks the question. God's asking the question. He says, to whom will you liken me? To whom will you liken God? What is He like? What is he like? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? How do you know what God is like? It's a difficult question. So the scripture goes on and says, lift up your eyes on high And behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power and not one fail. I'm going to repeat this verse with a little art to it. Let me show you this. Lift up your eyes and behold. Go ahead, take it. Take a moment. Look at this. Who has created these things? Whoa. Look at this. To bring out their hosts by number. Like, how would you like the task just of numbering them? Now, here we are on the threshold of this amazing subject of how do you understand the being that created these, that brings out their host by number, and he calls them all by names. These are not cold and different pieces of stuff floating around space. Each of them called into existence by him, named by him. He calls them all by names and by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power and doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't fail about this. And what our subject is tonight is, how can we understand him? Who? The one that created all of these. So to begin with, we have to understand that this is a difficult task. Because if you were to represent our planet that's in our solar system, that's in the galaxy called the Milky Way, which is 200,000 light years across, and the closest galaxy to us is thousands of light years away. And if we were on this, and we are somewhere in there, and then there's, so somewhere in here, there is this galaxy, the Milky Way, we call it. And there is the solar system, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. And on this Earth, there are five continents and several countries in North America. One of them is the United States. And the United States, there are 51 states, and there are whole bunches of cities and towns and villages and hamlets, and there's one called Jacksonville, Florida, and there's a whole lot of streets, and there's one called Atlantic Boulevard, and on Atlantic Boulevard there are many buildings stretched out over 8 mile length of streets, and there's this one building at 3949 Atlantic Boulevard, and in this building there's this people. And here we are. Here we are in the midst of this magnitude. And we're asking the question, how can we understand him? That's the question. Now, it's difficult. It's just difficult for a number of reasons. It's difficult because of the magnitude of it. So how do we do a comparison? How shall we liken God? To what likeness will we compare him? So here comes the question we're asking tonight. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection so that our knowledge and information and understanding of him is complete? That's the question. Right? So comes the scripture and says, it's as high as heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof, of this wonderful being of God, is longer than the earth and broader than the seas. This is a difficult task we are embarking upon. Now add to that this complication, that the God of this world blinds the minds, not the eyes, he blinds the mind of them which believe not. So now we're having to overcome some strange power that functions to blind the minds of people so they can't see the glorious truth. So, how do we move forward? And the answer then becomes that if we're going to find out what God and understand what God is like, then we're going to have to do diligent seeking and searching. And here's what he himself has said. If you seek me, you find me when you search with all your heart. It requires seeking. So I would ask you a rhetorical question. Is this worth the endeavor to understand this wonderful personality of God? Oh, to comprehend him. You shall seek me and find me. You shall search for me with all your heart. And look what he says, I will be found of you. So, here's the answer. Can we find God? Can we find out what he's like? Can we understand God? The answer comes back from him saying, yes, absolutely, I will be found of you. Yeah. But the seeking and the searching requires wholeheartedness. You have to put your heart in this. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. That's why the scripture says that it comes directly from the lips of the Master when he said, blessed are the pure in heart. No other mixture of stuff in there. They will be able to see God. The searcher, the seeker, who does so diligently, will be able to see God. Will be found of God. Will be able to understand God. So, in other words, the scripture is saying that if you follow these instructions, you will have success. You'll be able to find me. You'll be able to know me. And I could probably give you 15 verses right now about how intimate he expects that we will come to know him. And I will be found if he says, Lord, following instructions. Now once we find him, once you locate him, Once you have access to him, you want to move from academia to experience. You want to have contact with him. Because of all of the ways that you can understand God, what could be better than if you had personal contact, right? So he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and then call upon him. When you start to get close to him, when he's near, start talking. Now you can call it prayer if you want to and get kind of spiritual about it, mystical, whatever. He just says, talk to me. Just talk to me. He wants to have personal contact with you probably more than you want to have personal contact with him. Now that contact with God is going to lead you to deeper understanding. So, here's the problem. This is the next verse. In order to get there, two fundamental things must. Wickedness must be forsaken. And the previous wrong ways of thinking must be dismissed. So here comes now the scripture to say what I'm saying to you. Let the wicked forsake his way. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think that's necessary in order to have contact with God? The answer is because it's the wickedness that keeps us from being able to even see. So why do we have to change our thinking? Because the thinking has been wrong. And a person who is not willing to forsake the wickedness and change their thinking won't be able to see, won't be able to understand, won't get it. Because if we think the way we've always thought, then we'll have the lack of solutions that we've always had. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man is thought. Now, this, I'm going to introduce another subject. We're going to cover this next time we get together in detail. Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. The meek is a person who lacks egocentric maniac. He is not a narcissist. The opposite to meek and humble is proud. So the proud are going to have a hard time ever getting there. Because pride is a modifier, a description, an adjective, if you please, or an adverb of the condition of a person's heart and soul. That has its agenda so fixed it doesn't want any information, any data, anything to interfere with its self-exalting, God-playing, self-ruling, selfish, I'm God. So why would that person want to find God? They don't, see? Seek, ye Lord, all the meek of the earth. The wicked, because of this pride versus meek. The wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Why? Because he doesn't want to discover someone who just might interfere with his chosen wickedness. The wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Notice this now. God is not in his thoughts. God is not in all his thoughts. Come on, a little God here, but he doesn't want his thinking infiltrated by sincere thoughts about God. This is why wickedness must be forsaken and previous wrong thinking must be dismissed. Got to get that out of the way. Because remember this. The carnal mind is enmity against God. I mean, how can it find God? It's trying to say there is no God. It's trying to ignore God. It's trying to say, get out of my life, God. I don't want you, God. If you are out there, I don't want you. Carnal mind is an enmity. So the scriptures come and say, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now here's the really wonderful turning point in our steps towards understanding God. Forsaken wickedness is met with mercy. So, if he forsakes his wickedness and returns to the Lord his God, God will have mercy upon him. What is that? It means he'll cancel the wickedness. If you give it up, but God canceled it. He not only cancels it, but he cancels the fruit of it. He cancels the offspring of it. He cancels the law of sowing and reaping, because if you were wicked, you should reap something really bad, but God comes along in his mercy, and he wipes it out of existence, and you are standing before him absolutely clean and clear. All right, this is, and look at this. He will have mercy on him. And by returning to a God, he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that? And then this is such delightful. This isn't just pardon. It's just it's abundantly, right? Unquestionably, he forgives his God, it's over. Hallelujah. So now we're making progress. And I'm following the sequence of these scriptures. When this happens, we now get access to the thoughts of God. How do we get to understand God? By knowing how he thinks. Now, it's certainly true. You can know a person by their behavior. By the acts. You can know God by the things he has done. Sure. But to understand, you have to get inside his mind. You have to know how he thinks. So here he comes now and tells us, watch this now. Return to the Lord. He will have mercy on you and he will abundantly pardon. And he says, now my thoughts are going to be different than your thoughts. So you kind of have to brace yourself for that, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts. And neither are my ways your ways. Right? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as they're higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Do you see now why these previous instructions must be followed in order to condition us to... We have to dismiss the former way of thinking because he doesn't think like us. And we're about to embark on the discovery of the very thoughts of God. Back to the picture. Who created all these stars of heaven, calls them all by name. So he says, okay, I'm going to give you access to my thoughts, but get ready, because my thoughts are way up here, and yours are way down here. Now, I've only got about 2.5 feet between my hands here. And that is like a candle to the sun by comparison. The distance, how high above us are his thoughts? How superior is his way of thinking? As high as the heavens. Above the earth. How high is that? It's a lot higher than the 93 million miles to the sun. It's a lot farther than the closest galaxy in light years away. The distance between God and us in thinking is higher than the distance across the Milky Way. 200,000 light years. How far is that? Speed of light. Times the number of seconds in 200,000 years. Imagine that. Oh. We get access to the thoughts of God. And it is only by knowing the thoughts of God that we can ever understand him. Now this is an interesting verse. He made known his ways to Moses, but only his acts to the children. So a lot of people know his acts, but don't know his ways. Moses was privileged. Why did Moses get what the rest of them did not get? Why did he get to understand the ways of God and they only saw his acts? One of the answers? Because Moses was very meek. Above all the men which were on the face of the earth. The meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Look at this now. You see, meekness is the opposite to ego and pride. Those are the ones who get... They're teachable. They're instructable. They can receive from God. They can... Awesome. Now, as we understand God through his thoughts, it will produce joy and peace beyond description. Oh, the modifiers of Scripture. Peace like a river. Joy like a fountain. Peace that passes understanding. Yeah. So, when we get to know His thoughts, here's what God says will happen. You will go out with joy. And you will be led forth with peace. It's going to be an automatic condition that happens to you and I once we get the thoughts of God. Whew. Now we see every life situation from a different perspective. Before we looked at it, we go, ugh. And now we look at it, we go, ooh. So you're going to go with joy. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field clapping for you when you go out. This being a Christian authentically is not about having some religious theory, theology. All that's fine. But something of God, when we get His thoughts, happens in us, and you become, if you please, indomitable. He always causes us to conquer. More than triumph, He says. Wow. Hey, watch this. Because it affects your life. Instead of thorns, you're going to get fir trees. Instead of briars, you're going to get the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It will never be changed. Now watch this, because I want to give you a translation that really helps put the fix on this. Are you ready? Watch this now. So you go out in joy, and you'll be led into a whole and complete life. Watch now. I love this. The mountain, the hills will lead the parade. Bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. Right? Now watch this now. No more thistles, but giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes in your life, but stately pines. Now watch this. I don't want you to miss this. Monuments to me, to God. Watch now. Living and lasting evidence. God. Wow. These are the steps upon which we are about to embark. These are the steps we shall take to help us to understand God. The magnificent, majestic beings in charge of the entire universe. And He's willing to give you access to His thinking. And if you get access to His thinking, you will understand Him. And what is the benefit of understanding? Remember, wisdom is the principal thing, but with all you're getting, get what? Why? What? What's so great about understanding? Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. So this is part one, and I hope this has been helpful to you. And what we're going to do is we're going to start looking at the thoughts of God so we can understand Him better. And you know, beloved, I can't think of anything better to spend our time doing than this. Amen.